B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Tusher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich. I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Did Hardy put in another One Bites the Dust?
Oh, yeah. He knows that the Q rating on this song is through the roof. Queen's hot.
I always thought, they were playing I'm Still Standing at one of the stations here in the building. This is real jazz. I always thought this was a song that they wrote for the Lions because they played this at every Lions game.
Oh, really? Another One Bites the Dust?
How many wins did you see?
I'd say it's exactly. Quite the appropriate theme.
They made the playoffs when they had Billy Sims.
Played a lot.
Beck wrote Loser for the Giants.
You don't have
the
to.
The Lions, rather.
Yeah, you don't have to win to play Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, you don't?
No one throws in the towel.
Oh,
okay. Jesus, they play Sweet Caroline when the team's down 55 runs.
When you lose, you play Another One Bites the Dust.
No, they... Oh, shut up.
They're saying it about the team that bit the dust beat.
I got you.
Right. They just play it during the games.
Ah.
My God, everything with you is an argument. Stay in your lane, boy.
Okay.
Did you guys hear that story about the speaking of theme songs, the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing in the in LA for the Chargers.
Yeah.
And they played Renegade, the Steelers theme song at an away game.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Oh, that's
funny. I thought that was hysterical, actually.
I'm wondering what percentage of that crowd was Steeler fans too.
It's gotta be 80? It's gotta be huge, yeah.
I mean there were scenes where they showed a picture of it where you looked like you were at a Steelers game. Is there any reason for that team to exist?
No, there is none.
I mean,
there's no reason for that team to exist. It's just stupid. But the NFL, they do well, and then they just do everything in their power to make things more difficult for themselves. Ted Johnson, you know him. He is a multi-Super Bowl winner. And we were talking. Now, what do you think they're going to do about Michael Bennett? Because generally... the Patriots don't put up with these things. They generally just cut guys. But
I'm wondering if he's ever seen someone get in a philosophical debate and get suspended because of that with a coach.
That's a first.
Okay.
That's a first. Let's face it. I think the philosophical difference thing is Michael Bennett that's his way of trying to defuse it, or at least that's what he just wants to put out there. But I think we all know.
What happened? Give me an interpretation. What was the argument?
It has to be something. To the fact that Michael Bennett had to have just undressed, Brett Bielema, the defensive line coach, or embarrassed him, or just, cussed him out, or
because to get suspended, you have to step over a line, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know whatever it was. It was probably the feeling is, and it was being reported out there. I think it was Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston said something to the effect that it was a disagreement about playing time that Michael Bennett had with Brett Bielema. Well, we all know that Brett Bielema pulls the strings for Bill Belichick, right? So it's probably Brett Bielema is in the middle of maybe what Michael Bennett feels is more of a Belichick issue. But, it's not that surprising that it's come to this because you could see in the last couple of weeks people started after really the third game, you're like, we're all looking at the play chart and you're looking at the amount of plays that he's getting week to week. These keep going down. It's 55% week one, 40% week two, 38% week three. And then it just kept going on. And you're like, what's going on here? And then people started asking him about it. And then you could just hear in his voice that, ask Bill, go ask Bill. I mean, that's basically tells you everything that he's not happy with his playing time when he's basically telling reporters when they ask him about his playing time to go ask Bill. Okay. So you could see it percolating that something was about to happen here. And I guess the coup de grace was the Friday practice right after they played the Giants. They got, it sounds like they probably got into an argument. My feeling is Michael Bennett, he doesn't hold back. I mean, the Bennett brothers are, they say exactly what they mean. It's kind of refreshing. I mean, it's just so, I mean, just the way they take on guys and talk about guys, they don't give a bleep.
Yeah.
So, people will say, well, don't players cuss out coaches all the time? Not really. It's every now and then, but when you're on and this team, it's maybe a different set of rules. I mean, you fall in line or you're going to be disciplined. So I'm trying to, John Wallach just asked me what, if I knew of anybody that maybe had a 1 week suspension or been suspended for conduct detrimental. It's hard for me to think. I mean, the first name I thought of was Terry Glenn. I feel like he was here under Bill Belichick for 1 year under Bill Belichick.
But the problems he had were more with Parcells than Belichick.
Yeah, but believe it or not, it's funny. I don't know if they really had problems. I know that when Parcells called him she, it was more of a, believe it or not, I think a way to motivate him. Just side note, the most productive year Terry Glenn's ever had was his rookie year, 90 catches under Bill Parcells. Yeah. But the point is, my feeling is that Michael Bennett went after, in front of everybody, Brett Bielema. And, Brett Bielema is Belichick's guy. And so he probably, my feeling is he probably doesn't respect Brett Bielema. I don't know what, you look at what, you bring in guys like Antonio Brown, you bring in guys like Michael Bennett who've had issues on other teams. I think there's this feeling probably, people would say it's a kind of an arrogant kind of thing for the Patriots to think that these guys that have had issues on other teams will come here and they'll just fall in line. And it's part of me probably would feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, if you bring in a guy like Antonio Brown, aren't you thinking, well, this guy's got to fall in line? I mean, he's got the best quarterback with the best coach with the best franchise. Isn't he going to fall in line? If he's not going to fall in line here, he's not going to fall in line anywhere. So I can understand maybe there's this, kind of feeling or that, guys that have had issues in the past with other teams will come here and they'll just want to be part of something great. So they will fall in line. And doesn't everybody kind of know that if you come here to play for New England, that what kind of the culture is that's been established, and if you don't fall in line, then they get rid of you. So there's this assumption that guys will know what they're getting into when they come here.
Going on that, do you think they're going to cut him? What I'm hearing is they don't want to cut him now because he would become a free agent and he could sign with a Baltimore or a Texans or a Kansas City. But if they cut him after the trade deadline, he has to clear waivers where they would feel like a lesser team would pick him up. Because you assume, like you just said, like if you screw around and you talk and the Patriots don't like you, just cut bait. Do you think there's a chance that they're just buying their time before they get rid of him?
No, I think maybe they feel like, believe it or not, you can work things out with Bill. You can have blow-ups, you can have disagreements, and you can still be able to patch it up and work it out. So this thing isn't completely lost just because of this 1 week suspension. I think the statement that he put out, he apologized, he feels bad to his teammates, that kind of thing, that goes a long way with Bill. So I'm not so sure about it. I was a little bit surprised, though, if you had any intentions of trading him, that you would suspend him. Because then it sends off all these alarms to every team out there.
Does that have anything to do with getting their money back? I know there's the whole conduct detrimental type thing that they've been, using with Antonio Brown. If someone gets suspended for, I guess, behavior reasons, isn't there something in contracts where you can negate the amount of money that's owed to them?
Yeah, there's general language probably that Ghost speaks to that. I just don't know if what he's done. I feel like if what he's done was, it was so bad, we would know it, and to reach the level where you would be able to void out the rest of his contract, yeah, it would have to be pretty serious, I would think.
Yeah. And well, you just said you didn't know, you've never heard of a guy doing this when you played.
Not on the teams I played.
I don't think that you could cut him for no money just because he yelled at a coach.
We don't know that's what happened.
Yeah, we don't really know.
Well, no, but conduct detrimental to the team, it would seem like there would have to be something that...
Well, not showing up is conduct detrimental.
Yeah, but he showed up.
Yeah, I know, but if that doesn't seem... I mean, what seems worse, not showing up or cussing out a coach?
Well, not showing up for a practice, you can't cut a guy for no money. I mean, it's got
to
be a...
Well, I mean, Antonio Brown, they tried to with the Oakland.
Yeah, he didn't show up for a very, very long time.
Yeah,
he missed a lot of time, and then when he was there, he was acting out. He was acting up.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Language is broad, and it's a little ambiguous.
Yeah, you have to really screw around off the field or miss a lot of time. Let's put it this way, is that they didn't cut to Jalen Ramsey. They wanted to get that sweet, sweet trade. All right, we'll be back with Ted Johnson. 617-779-0985 on the off chance that the phones work. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio. 617-779-0985 if you'd like to chime in. We were talking off the air, you know, Ted does stuff for NBC Sports Boston pre- and post-game for the Patriots. And we were talking about how the Patriots have won all their games exactly the same way, that they haven't really been contest outside of that Buffalo game. And there's really not a lot to nitpick. I mean, you can nitpick about the offense. It's inconsistent. But just having played the game, and I don't – first of all, have you ever had a run in your – did you ever have a run in your career where – you can recall that you played this many games against this poor opposition?
I've never seen a start, you know, just a schedule in which it is really, I mean, you're playing, so they've played six games. Three of the six offenses this defense has played are the three worst offenses in the NFL. Prior to your boy, you know, Sammy coming back, the Jets offense were terrible.
Yeah.
One of the worst three defenses or offenses in the NFL. The Washington Redskins, one of the worst offenses in the NFL. The Dolphins.
Yeah.
One of the worst offenses in the NFL. And so, I mean, I think the best offense they played, I think their DVOA was like 22nd. So, I mean, they have not played good offenses. So, it's been tough to watch from that aspect. But you like to think, you know, you wonder, okay, what is this defense? They haven't played really a great offense. So, what do we really have here? I will say this. They're absolutely annihilating the opposition. So, that defense is legit. Is it right? Historically great? I think that's a little bit premature to say going there, but I mean the numbers would back it up. If they finish on the pace they are now, it will blow away all those, the 85 Bears, you know, the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. It will be considered the best defense of all time if they continue this pace. It's just I've never seen such poor competition to start a season. And I was trying to think back in the years I played, Freddie, I've never seen such a just kind of cupcake after cupcake after cupcake. And so, I mean, they've played so many teams that have had not only backup quarterbacks start
third string
and play, but third string quarterbacks, right? And Luke Falk for the Jets. So
he's no longer in the league.
Right. He's gone.
He's gone.
He could be
point.
In a practice squad. Yeah.
That's true. He could waivers. Be a practice squad player for the Jets. You brought up the offense and how it's been inconsistent, Fred, and I think ultimately this is going to bite the Patriots in the ass once they start playing better competition around Thanksgiving. Tight end, as we all know, has been a massive problem for this team since week one, and they brought Benjamin Watson back yesterday. Watson, I think, was a teammate of yours for a couple of years. Right?
Yeah, one year.
So, I mean, what can he possibly bring to the table at 38? I think Witten retired, came back, and is still younger than Watson at this point. I mean, at 38 years old, I mean, he's never been known as a good blocker. What can he bring to the table?
He came in 2004, and he's so athletic. He's so fast. He's just so naturally gifted as far as a runner. I mean, if you think he's going to come in and save the day in the running game and be a better perimeter blocker than what they've had, that's not going to happen. Ben does not want to put his nose in there. I mean, I watched him in preseason. God bless him. But can he... Do you have to scheme up plays to get him free like you do the other guys? No. I think he's a guy that you can, you know, if a safety is covering him, he can get separation. He can win one-on-one battles without having to scheme up and off of play action and misdirection, you know, smoke and mirrors kind of thing to get him open like you have to do some of these other guys. So he will help a little bit in the passing game, All right, that's really more than anything what he's gonna bring to the table. He's not gonna be an end of the line blocker, and that's an issue. This running game has been an issue. It's just way too inconsistent, and it's one of the more disappointing aspects of this season is because really the number one question you had going into this year was what? It was the passing game. What's the passing game going to look like with the question marks with a young guy and N'Keal Harry before he got injured? You didn't know how much he could give you. And then you knew there were depth concerns there. We obviously knew the tight end position was probably the worst assembled position group, if you think about it, in the Bill Belichick era. And you look back at some of the tight end groups, and you know there's some ones that you might say might be worse, but overall, let's face it, this probably is the most underwhelming tight end group that by far that maybe Bill's had. So there was a lot of questions around the passing game, and you just thought the running game was going to pick up where it left off last year. Well, then David Andrews, he has what he has, and so he's on IR. And then they get injured, Isaiah Wynn gets injured. And so now all of a sudden the offensive line isn't playing well. You have Shaq Mason, who's been a stud here for a long time. He's not playing up to the level that you thought he typically plays at. So the offensive line, the inconsistency there, the fact that the running game is very inconsistent, it's gonna hurt the play action pass game. So it affects the passing game, and you've seen that. So that's the one thing you were hoping that you didn't have to worry about was the running game. It's an issue. So I'm not sure Ben Watson coming back is not going to help the running game that they have right now.
How do you solve your Marshall Newhouse problem? Because they really, you brought up left tackle. There's nobody better to take that spot. Newhouse has been awful the last couple of weeks. There's a reason he's been a journeyman. I mean, how do the Patriots solve this problem?
Yeah, it's and you heard in Tom Brady had a press conference or his. He was talking to, I think, Jim Gray, his typical weekly hit on with Jim Gray on Monday Night Football, talk about how excited he is to maybe have Isaiah Wynn come back, and he's working hard, and he's being diligent. So, obviously, Tom is probably frustrated with the left tackle situation. And Isaiah Wynn, let's face it, when he did come back and play, and he missed most of training camp, he didn't probably play in any preseason games, and when he came back and played the first game or two, you're like, oh, this kid's... Man, he was a lot better than I thought he would be. So he would be a big help, I think, if he came back, because that left tackle position is an issue. But there's just ways that they can mitigate that, as far as, plays they can design, protection, slide protection, chip. So there's things you can do to help that, but that's certainly an issue, is that left tackle position, no doubt.
All right, well, how difficult is it going to be for Harry, who's off IR, to get the trust of Tom Brady, who seems to not even really want to try, and he's vocal about it, to incorporate rookies and new guys into the system?
Yeah, he's got an uphill battle. I don't know. He's going to have to do everything he can to get on Tom's good side.
Okay, so when you were playing with Brady, had it gotten to that point yet where he was that picky?
No.
How much did Brady change? Not that, I mean, he's still obviously probably a really good guy and everything, but when he came in and he was Tom Brady from Michigan, sixth round pick,
chubby kid.
Chubby cheeks. Oh, yeah.
Like, I heard he had a Lamborghini or something.
The first car I ever remember him driving was a yellow Jeep Cherokee, Jeep Wrangler.
Okay.
Hard top. I mean, we bust his balls all the time for that.
So did you at that point ever, you obviously didn't know he was going to be this, bigger quarterback and play this long, but how weird is it to see Brady the way he is now comparatively to where he was when he came into the league?
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise. I mean, look, the success will change you. I just think being called the greatest of all time while you're still, you're still playing at a high level will change you. I mean, back then it was defensive oriented team. Ball control. He was a glorified game manager. He was phenomenal at being a game. I mean, honestly, what people would ask me all the time, when did you know Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady? And I was like, it's not like anything really jumped out at you, except for one thing that jumped out at you when you watched him in his earlier years. It was how he would run the 2-minute offense. You'd have a team drill, and all of a sudden it's like ding, boom, 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 boom. And Bill's telling you, okay, this is the situation. I got a minute left. You have one timeout. You know, it's first and go. And then Tom would work the offense down and just slice up the defense. And, he was just very fit. And then when he got into started playing in 2001, he managed the game so well. And that's one of his absolute biggest strengths is just kind of the operation, knowing when to call timeouts, knowing doing different tempos. And that's what set him apart. But he knew that he would basically lean on our defense, run the football, and manage the game. And so he did not have he wasn't going to talk like he does now. And I would say the way he talks now is maybe different than you've ever heard him talk to, right?
Right.
As far as just his displeasure with things,
yes.
He's more vocal about how he feels. And I think it all goes back, Freddie, to his contract situation. I think he's still got an issue with how the contract is, the fact that he doesn't have a long-term deal here. And so I think he's like, you're seeing that frustration come out in how he talks about some of the personnel decisions.
Then why hasn't he taken care of that? Because I hear that all the time, but a lot of that's on him, right? Like why didn't he take care of this before?
That's one thing. He's like, well, you sign a contract, you agree to it. Then I think there's so much of Tom signs these contracts begrudgingly, you know? And you go, well, why sign them? Because you know why? Because Tom needs Bill more than really Bill needs Tom to some degree. And so if Tom's going to be the greatest of all time and he's going to build on his legacy, he knows he's got to stay attached to Bill. Because if you look at all the other coaches out there, all the other systems, all the other teams out there, he knows the best chance for him to continually add on to his legacy is if he stays attached with Bill. So he accepts these contracts because he knows – at the end of the day, even though it's maybe he's not getting paid what he feels like he's owed, the best chance for him to add to his legacy is to stay right here. And so he's got to basically take deals that he doesn't feel comfortable with.
So the Patriots are smart because they've gambled that he won't leave because he cares about his legacy that much. And see, because it's funny.
Absolutely, Freddie. Yes, I think absolutely. And the Patriots know they have him over a barrel because they know. Go ahead, Tom. You really want to go? Where are you going to go? I mean, we're talking about teams that he could. I mean, this offseason could potentially be one of the most fascinating offseasons. And there's fascinating offseasons here all the time, right? There's storylines the last couple of years are just, I mean, they're endless. I mean, the Nick Caserio storyline, I thought this offseason was fascinating. I really did. And then the year before that, it was the Malcolm Butler, not playing in the Super Bowl offseason and Tom not coming to OTAs. That was fascinating. This offseason, if Tom becomes a free agent, can you imagine what it's going to look like around here? It will be fascinating. And I wonder if Tom, at the end of the day, really would ever pull the trigger and go somewhere else. My feeling is no way. Because look at some of the teams that we were thinking about maybe he could go. We're talking about Tennessee. Do you think he'll go to Tennessee? Look at that. What's going on down there? L.A. with the Rams, I don't see that.
Chicago?
No.
Yeah, okay, you wouldn't go to Chicago?
No way.
Pittsburgh.
No way.
Pittsburgh. That's the dream scenario. Pittsburgh.
I couldn't see it.
You don't think you can see Tom Brady go to Pittsburgh and bring him here?
I don't think he wants to go play for Mike Tomlin.
No way
he wants to go play for
you
Mike
don't
Tomlin.
Think, you don't think he would go to Pittsburgh if they got their act together on offense?
No.
And everyone stayed healthy?
Do you think he'd do that to the Crafts, though? Because ultimately... I mean, the Crafts, they might have not have paid him, but do you think he would be that bitter?
If pushed enough and disrespected enough by the Patriots this season and they don't offer him anything, I could see him going to Pittsburgh.
No way.
Defense would certainly hold up its end.
All right. Well, we'll get back. We can discuss it. Ted Johnson in studio, 617-779-0985. You're the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Voice Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm just seeing. Kurt Schilling says he won't run for Congress.
Oh, well, darn.
That's going to be, that would have been the greatest. That would have just been the greatest. And you could go, well, you know, there's non-traditional candidates that have been winning. Nah. I would have given anything to see him in a debate.
And just to get up there and talk about how he's going to be great at managing money.
We would have had content for months.
And not wasting like a state's taxes or...
I saw him... I read an article where he was fighting someone over like his Nazi stuff. And he was like comparing his house to like some museum. Like a world... like, and you're just like, shut up. You idiot. Boy, is he dumb.
He's not in Bledsoe's old house anymore, is he?
Oh, was he? Is that where he used to be?
He's the one that bought.
He better not be
in Medfield. Yeah,
he better not sell that along with everything else in the house. Exactly where that house is,
or else that's dirty pool, in my opinion.
By the way, Greg Bedard chiming in. I tweeted out a picture, and I said Ted Johnson joins us in studio, and Greg Bedard said this picture always scares me, like he's Bruce Banner. So Greg Bedard is intimidated by you, Ted Johnson. So next time you see him, if he's down at the, you know, down at
Greg's
Gillette,
a good man.
Just do one of these. Just kind of like moving.
Just flinch. See, yeah, see if I can get him to
see if he flinches. When
drop
you
and run. Okay.
Yeah. Just have him give you his money. Just have him open his wallet.
So you guys, real quick, you were mentioning something. I was in the other room having to edit, but I did hear the end of the conversation about would Brady do that to the Crafts? Would he end up leaving and going to a different team? I don't know if that relationship is as on the up and up as we all think it is. And a lot of it came from the fallout with the Antonio Brown situation. We all know what Antonio Brown tweeted about Robert Kraft when he blew his way out of town. And that's something that's unforgivable. Like if you put something out there, there's no possible way that you can ever come back into that circle of trust. And anyone who thinks that he'll be a Patriot again is insane. You can't do that to someone like Robert Kraft and expect to just be forgiven.
Agreed.
Now, which makes me scratch my head whenever I see Antonio Brown put out an Instagram post and all of them are liked by Tom Brady and Tom Brady's even commenting on him, like with support towards Antonio Brown. And that just seems like a massive stab in the back to the Crafts. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, if you truly believe that Tom Brady and Robert Kraft or the Crafts are these, you know, this pair that, you know, nothing can separate the two of them, they're best of friends, would you do that to one of your best friends?
But Rich, we were talking about this, is that, and it is interesting, and Ted and I were talking about off the air, is that if you talk to the Crafts, they always describe, I mean, even, you know, off the, even if you're just talking to them, you know, not on the radio or anything. Yeah. They're like, you know, Tom's like our son and Tom's like, you know, like a member of the family. But then Ted and I were talking about it and it's like, well, then it's kind of weird that you're not paying him. So, Ted, how much do you think the Antonio Brown stuff is, oh, I just want this guy in the field. If he was getting paid what Drew Brees is getting paid, do you think he would still have these kind of combative little jabs at the Patriots?
My feeling is no. I think it really goes back, you guys, to the contract. So the Antonio Brown thing and liking his post in wake of him being critical of Kraft, I think goes back to the contract. You know, my feeling is there's been a lot of probably issues around the contract. We well know that Tom's had to restructure or he's had to take less than market value for years. And he's had to maybe sign contracts where it's really incentive laden and you go, well, you know, and a lot of people are going to say, well, he signed a contract. He must be happy with the deal. No, my feeling is he's not. And this past one, I don't think he's happy at all because you can just tell in his voice that he's not happy of the fact that he did not get the money that he thinks he's worthy of getting. And then it's essentially a one-year deal that they did not want to make a long-term commitment. And it all started, I was just telling these guys, Rich, when it was the training camp interview. It was an impromptu kind of right after – one of the practices, and it was a lot of talk about his contract and what it was going to happen. You know, they didn't sign a new deal. And it was going to be expire after this year. And so there was a lot of talk about it, obviously, this summer. And they asked him about it.
Yeah.
And he said, go ask Mr. Kraft, you know.
Yeah.
Or let's take a poll. What should we do? Should we pay me or you know, go ask Mr. Kraft. You know what? We all got to sing for our supper. We're all on one-year deals. That told you everything. That little comment, go ask Mr. Kraft. That said everything to me Mr. Kraft probably has in the past always had to be the buffer when it comes to these contract negotiations. Kind of probably goes to Tom, hey, Tom, you know, I know you're not, but hey, just this work with us. We know we're trying to build something. And so he's always probably been kind of in Tom's ear and asking him to maybe take lesser deals and trying to smooth it over between, you know, Bill and Tom.
Yeah.
And I think this summer, he's probably like, you know what? I'm done with it. I mean, when he put his house up for sale,
yeah,
that's a strong statement. That's like saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this.
And I also think that there might also be a situation where Robert Kraft, there's two people that he is trying to please here, and that is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And Bill is probably pulling for, hey, we need to get him for the least amount of money that we can so we can spend our money in other spots. So he's telling Robert Kraft, I do not want to go over this number for Tom Brady. And then Robert Kraft's like, but I don't want to piss off Tom Brady in this situation. So don't you think that there's almost a, I don't want to say choosing of sides here, because I don't know quite how low Bill Belichick wanted their money to be. I mean, it would have to be pretty low if you ended up getting a bump for this current one that he got. So I think that for him to be pissed at Robert Kraft, I guess because he chose a side, he chose Belichick's side.
That's what it is. Because ultimately you are choosing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You ultimately are choosing. I just feel like now more than ever, Tom, it feels like I feel like I have a stronger voice that I have. He's got a ton of pull.
Yeah.
He really does. I mean,
and Kraft's probably also like, one of these two guys has an expiration date and one doesn't. Tom Brady's talent, you know, he's old. It's going to expire soon. Belichick could coach for another 10 years.
But there's been things that you've seen in the past where, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is the perfect example of Tom throwing his weight around and probably feeling like, you've seen, I think, Kraft side with Tom more than Bill. In one example would be is the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I mean, basically the feeling is that Tom's never felt comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo being here, and that he forced the issue to get him traded out somewhere, you know, to go to San Francisco, and that was Kraft basically going to Bill and saying, "Hey, we got to get something for Jimmy Garoppolo. You're gonna have to grieve that one. We're gonna ride with Tom, and you're gonna have to let Jimmy Garoppolo go." And so that, to me, that was a big power play for Tom right there, getting Jimmy Garoppolo basically, at least maybe behind the scenes, influencing Kraft to make that move. And so you've seen examples of Tom maybe, you know, using his power with, you know, in regards to Robert Kraft. So this is probably one where he's like, really, man? Yeah. I mean, all the things I've done for you, and I'm your son, and you won't even pay me, you know, what, you know, the top quarterbacks are making. It's probably, you know, it's gotten to a point where Tom's just so probably done with it, and it shows. His frustration is showing in how he's talking.
But I, like you, am confused as to where he would go. Like, I mean, it's like, what team would he go to after this is all said and done?
No clue.
And you're right, because at first we're like, oh, friends with Vrabel, good at it. I mean, Tennessee seems like it's a mess.
Total mess.
Yeah, and also, I don't think that the Bears would. I don't think Brady would want to go play for the Bears.
I have an idea, but no one wants to hear it.
I like the Steelers idea. It's my favorite idea because everyone's heads would explode New England.
You don't know if Roethlisberger's elbow is going to be right. You don't know how long he's going to be out.
Dude, for chaos, it's a best-case scenario.
I like Pittsburgh a lot.
Can you imagine? Oh. Can you imagine? If Tom Brady, if he truly becomes a free agent, like I mean, he looks like he maybe wants to be, And unless they just sign a deal right after the season. I mean, when free agency period hits in mid-March, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
This will be the most compelling offseason ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really would. And you, Freddie, you were saying it. If Tom goes to play for another team, can you imagine how much fun it would be next year? Just covering this team, but also covering the team that Tom plays for.
It would be the easiest year of radio, and it would not be Deflategate, where it was just a pounding and boring.
Yeah.
It would be truly fascinating.
Two games to watch every week and break down.
Yeah, fantastic. It'd be truly fascinating. Yep. And to see the reaction of the fans and who they side with would be fantastic.
And you finally get who's the man, Brady or Belichick?
Well, but see, John and I were just talking about that, Rich, and it's kind of like I think Tom would be terrified to go risk, because he's got a lot to lose by going to another team, in my opinion, as far as legacy. If he goes somewhere else,
with this amount of trophies, nothing's going to hurt.
Okay, I say legacy.
I know what you mean, but
the one narrative,
yeah,
that everybody who's more important to the franchise is the head coach, is the quarterback. If Tom goes to another team
and fails,
then that everybody, it was Bill, it wasn't Tom, it was all Bill. And that's one of the things you risk is changing that narrative, because right now, you know, there's a debate on that. Nobody really knows which one's more important. If Tom goes and fails, then all of a sudden the pendulum swings towards Belichick.
Yeah, but if he believes in himself, you know, you might take that chance. All right, we'll be back. We'll finish up with Ted Johnson. Also, Rich has put something together called Celebrity Cribs that we'll be exploring at 8 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hub. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio. Bill, go ahead.
Ted, I think you took one too many hits in your career, my friend. Are you not aware of the abysmal coaching record of Bill Belichick sans Tom Brady?
I thought the Matt Castle year was a pretty good year.
They won 11-5.
Hey, you know what?
He wasn't bad in Cleveland, except for the year that they knew they were moving to Baltimore.
His first year was 2000. I think we won 5 games.
You won 5 games. You went 0-2 the next year. Brady took over, and then he's a Super Bowl champion 6 out of the next 13 years. He's 55-63 in his career. He was 11-5 in the worst division of football with Matt Castle. They still didn't win the division. They lost to the Chad Pennington Miami Dolphins. Castle got traded to the Chiefs, ended up making a Pro Bowl in Kansas City. So he wasn't as bad as everybody thought he was. Belichick is horrific without Brady. I don't understand how anybody could think that it's Belichick and not Brady.
I mean, he did okay with Jacoby Brissett that one game. Yeah, Garoppolo.
Place right now. Garoppolo's undefeated in San Francisco right now, and Brissett just beat Kansas City in Kansas City. Obviously, those guys weren't bad.
What's your point? I don't understand that. Okay, these guys might have been good, but you're saying without Brady, Belichick isn't any good.
How's his success without Brady? Overall, how's his success?
I mean, over the last decade, pretty good.
No, it's not pretty good. You can't miss the playoffs in the AFC East and call it good.
They won 11 games.
They won 11 games last year and had a first-round bye.
Plus, they went 3-1 during Brady's 4-game suspension. So what's that? That's 14-6.
His argument is Garoppolo and Brissett are good quarterbacks.
But it doesn't matter. He said without Brady, Belichick's not any good. All right, so
55-63.
So you're saying that those three quarterbacks that filled in when Brady wasn't playing over the last decade are so amazing, and that's the reason.
No, he's saying that in Cleveland that he didn't have a great deal of success, even though
coaches can get better over the years. I mean, how many years has it been?
He's not the same guy as he was in 1993.
Right, you learn a lot along the way.
The culture is so established here, and just the system, and he's fine-tuned what he's been trying to do maybe in Cleveland in his first year here to a point now where I think it's just such a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can win with just anybody at the quarterback, but you know, there was talk about if Jared Stidham was the quarterback for this team this year, if something, God forbid, happened to Tom, would it all fall apart? My feeling is no. Like you'd still win a ton of games and give yourself a chance to go far in the playoffs. I'm not saying win the whole thing.
See, I think you're the Rex Grossman Bears at that point. I think your defense is stellar, and I think that a quarterback, who knows what's going to happen. Now, Rex Grossman's, I think, arguably the worst quarterback ever to make the Super Bowl, and I don't know what Stidham is, but I would think that he couldn't be much better seeing that he's fairly new to this game.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that you still have potential to make it far in the playoffs just because that defense is so good.
Is Tony Eason worse than Rex Grossman?
It's close. But I think Grossman is worse. I can tell you that the head coach hated Eason, didn't want to draft him, wanted nothing to do with him. Ron Meyer, before he died, was very vocal.
They didn't want Marino?
What's that?
They didn't want Marino?
No, they wanted Marino.
I know, but they didn't take him.
No, the guy they wanted was Jim Kelly, who got taken the pick before.
He had Marino had the cocaine. The cocaine problem.
But yes, it's close. Grossman's a little worse. Brad Johnson, Tampa Bay. Trent Dilfer, Baltimore.
But Brad Johnson was good that year.
Trent
Brad Johnson had a minute.
Who's worse, Dilfer or Rex Grossman?
Oh, Rex Grossman.
Oh, definitely Rex Grossman.
Yeah,
really?
Rex Grossman. You forget how bad
Trent's
he was.
Trent's a better quarterback than Rex Grossman.
Okay.
I think.
I'm trying to go back into
Wasn't Trent a typical game manager?
Yes.
Like, it's like that's
all he
the
needed
worst
to
term.
Be. But who
that's
was what the quarterback?
Was.
They went like 5 weeks without scoring an offensive touchdown.
Was it Vince Ferragamo that was the quarterback for the Rams
yes,
when they played
they lost
Steelers?
To Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl.
They actually
yes.
could have won that game, too. I'm trying to think of bad
But Ferragamo had a good year that year, too. I'm certainly old enough to remember. Yes.
So you just, remember the 1980 Super Bowl?
Yeah, I do.
How old were you?
40. Just out of college.
I think Ted might be young. Ted, how old are you?
I'm 46.
Oh, I'm right. way
you're
older.
You're only 2 years older than me. Jesus. Yeah. Look at all you've accomplished.
I ain't done either, Freddie. I'm still going, man.
Somebody said you shouldn't let Brady's uncle on the air anymore.
I'm a little surprised that people, like, he has that kind of strong opinion about it. You don't think Bill's a good coach now?
There's not enough evidence.
He's a phenomenal coach.
I mean, listen, it would be fun to watch. I mean, you want to talk about get your popcorn ready.
Yeah.
What team does better? The team with Tom Brady and, you know, the guy who isn't Bill Belichick or the Bill Belichick one, the guy that isn't Tom Brady.
They beat the AFC Championship game. Would be great.
Does anyone doubt Bill's getting a kick out of winning these games without an explosive offense?
Oh, he's
oh God,
it.
He's in
you've heard it in his voice
and
in
I
these
think
post-games.
That, I will go so far as to say I think that he enjoys it a little bit when Brady's pissed off about it. Don't you agree, Ted? Yes.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I think that
Bill likes that tension there. Maybe.
I think Bill likes that that Brady's a little pissed off about it, and that Bill's winning with defense and special teams.
Yep.
Because you know his wet dream is winning with special teams. I mean, because that's like the things other teams overlook. Ready for any situation.
That's why the Super Bowl was awesome. At the punter, pin the other team inside the 25 times.
Don't you think he called Ron Rivera about that free catch, that fair catch kick?
Oh, the free kick?
Oh, yeah, he knew that.
Tell me about these rules. He's found a little loophole that I haven't found.
You don't think
Ernie
called
the win thing? Did you check the win beforehand?
Ernie, why are you not on top of this?
No, Ernie was like, he didn't have his pants on for like a day. All right, Ted Johnson, always a pleasure having you in studio every Wednesday from 7 to 8. No commercials here, just the headlines when we come back. Celebrity Cribs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.